of dignity and freedom that Palestinians live under. And once I saw those realities with my...
You're listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Unheard.
Segment of What's Up With Work Lately. I'm here with my colleagues, Mariam, Charlie. How are you all doing tonight?
Good, how are you doing?
Bonjour, bonjour. Hi, Emil.
Very good, and I hope our listeners are great too, and I hope everyone's consistent on their New Year's resolutions. And got a great treat for you tonight. We got a special guest from the Green Center, who's a grassroots organization that's doing great work and with interesting experiences and stories, and looking forward to having them. Yes. Nice to start the show with some jazz music.
Yeah, that was Tony Allen's Jazz is Dead. So he's from Nigeria. He's from Lagos. He's
a
drummer.
That's really good.
Yeah, yeah. And then we'll try to keep it a little bit more local. That was just what I found to play.
Yeah, just start off the show with a little pizzazz for my Nigerian people.
So what's next for the show, guys?
Well, like Emil said a bit earlier, we're going to have... we're going to interview Tara, who is a very nice human being. But before that, why don't we talk a bit about what's happening next week?
Oh, yes. Youthful Cities has their National Urban Work Summit in Vancouver. We've got 60 delegates, and we're covering their travel and giving them a stipend for coming. And the 60 delegates are 30 from different cities in Canada, and 30 locally from Vancouver. And like it'll be 3 days of like good discussions, and youth can share their solutions to how we think we can make things better for youth in the professional environment.
Mm-hmm. And what's the best part?
The best part is free food. Well, that's what I think it is. I'm not sure if
you... The best part is that we're going.
The best part is that people are coming to discuss urban work on an unheard-of scale. Mm-hmm. yeah, I think it's going to be... It's important to remind the dates. So that's the 29th of January to February 2nd. So it's going to be a full work week. It's a 3-day summit, and it's our only national summit of the project, the DevLabs project that we've been talking about. So one quick reminder is that it is the last day to fill out the survey on our website. That's youthfulcities.com. And those results, that data, is going to drive what we talk about these summits. Any observation on what the data is showing so far, you two?
I mean, clearly, you know, how discussed recently, the last couple of days, is that the expectations between employers and young people just don't match, right? Employers still have, without being biased, 50-year-old or if not older expectations, and young people are young.
Yeah, young people, especially these days, like, they value the work-life balance, and sometimes they value the entrepreneur side hustles. So sometimes like there's a difference between working to live versus living to work. So maybe the old time mentality is the living to work.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, for young people, like it's just a small compartment of their identity, and then they want to make sure they're well grounded and balanced.
Yeah. Also, like one of the people that I interviewed recently has mentioned how it's important that, you know, the work environment offers room for progress and skill development, and just, you know, just not a position where you're going to be stagnant.
Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, that offers like courses or...
What kind of interview, Charlie?
What do you mean?
Well, we're doing interviews now. They're super interesting.
Yeah. So like another way for us to get the data is that we do like... 30 to 40 minutes interviews with... Well, right now we're focusing on the delegates that we're going to meet in Vancouver very soon. But we might reach out to, you know, the city's populations very soon. So keep an eye out.
Absolutely. Please apply. Please
yes,
stay
we'd
tuned.
We'd love to hear your stories.
Yes, absolutely. And just in general, Montrealers, watch out for the summit that we're going to be doing at the end of March and one at the end of May. If you don't speak French, we're going to repeat the model of our Vancouver summit. So we'll be reporting next episode in 2 weeks live from there. And we are conducting interviews. We're gathering qualitative data. All the findings show that it is increasingly difficult to be... And when we say young person, we mean the under 30 population. In Quebec, it's a little older. It's 35. But we're studying it nationally. Yeah, to quote Rudy from Ségur, on est jeune plus longtemps au Québec. Yeah. We're younger longer in Quebec.
So you suffer longer.
It looks that way, yeah. It looks that way. I mean, we'll hear a community member's opinion 10 minutes from now. Other initial observations that we're seeing when it comes to whether or not people want to work and play in different cities, well, it depends on what kind of stability they find, so... accumulating wealth at our age, right? A system is broken when you can't do that without moving out or mm-hmm. without when you have to stay at home. But then that plays on a multi-generational model of a couple of a couple of cultures as well. So yeah.
And like, you know, immigrants don't have that, and it's particular. I've also heard a lot of people saying that the political ideologies matter a lot, you know. If your workplace just doesn't go along with your social expectations and political expectations.
When we interview people, we ask them, should organizations take a definitive stance on socioeconomic political issues? What trend of response were you two getting? What about Emil? Do you remember?
One of the people I interviewed thinks it's a priority. Is like, I think it reflects well on like whether they'll be tolerant and just how they might be a reflection of how they treat the other employees. Mm-hmm. And then also someone I was interviewing happened to be from a disadvantaged community, so they thought it was really important that like their interests are well represented and well heard. Mm-hmm. So for the people I was talking to, they think it's very important. Mm-hmm. And then even one person also mentioned that they can't just be tokenistic about, meanwhile, like where they mm-hmm. only talk the talk but don't walk the walk.
Good old tokenism.
No, and extractionism and all these things, I mean, it's just very important. Even when we do research, right, we're asking young people what they think of their own city. There's a right way and a wrong way to do that. So I think if we were to say, we love specifically helping this group and then don't necessarily reflect that, I think that's a really constant issue. And I think when young people explore morality, especially in this economy, it's important that these things are talked about more and more and more.
Yeah, I had somebody give me a very interesting answer to that question. They said that the whole point of work, quote unquote, is to have a social impact, and that organizations and employees, if they are employers and their organization that live, you know, that exist, the whole point of them existing is to have a social impact. Mm. And so that they need to be completely honest and transparent on what the social impact they want it to be. And that reveals, you know, their political stance, et cetera, et cetera. And so that answer kind of like made me feel like that's the whole point, you know, of work. It's to have a political side and a social impact. And I was just completely mind blown mm-hmm. by that stance. And I think it's a good way to see things, because if you see work like that, then you instantly know where you want to go and where you don't want to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess because people like to feel that their work is meaningful. Mm. And then also, so corporations can't always be about chasing the profits and then neglect everything else.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, it almost becomes like they're the only ones benefiting from the transactions and the movements they're making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely look into like who has more rights to be utilitarian, and and it does seem like the employee gets the short stick more often than not. But we're working on changing that. Hopefully at the summit, we hear perspectives from all sectors and all levels of entrepreneurship and academia and employment. So we're going to focus right now on Montreal right before we ship off to the West Coast. We're going to take a quick music break. So we started off with Tony Allen. Up next is a couple tracks from the Inuktitut album, released on Bon Sound by Elisapi, Montreal local voice, very, very lovely. And we're going to listen to a couple of tracks from that. So The Unforgiven, Dreams, and whatever we have time for more. And after that, we'll be back with an interview conducted by our dear Charlie.
Oh, yeah. We are back with Tara, that we are going to interview very, very soon.
Tara, are you here?
I'm here, yes.
Hi, friend. Fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Very good. Just give me a second. I do not hear you very much. But okay. All right. So Tara is somebody that I've met a couple years ago who's a very kind individual and... I hear you laugh, and very passionate about the community, the youth community, the every community that they are passionate about, without giving more details. I'll start with the first question for you, Tara. So as a young person from another province, if I recall, what would you say are the challenges that youth face moving in Quebec, and particularly Montreal?
Yeah, so for me, the biggest barrier was definitely the language. When I first moved to Quebec, I didn't have an Anglophone community or group of friends. So navigating day-to-day interactions was challenging, especially in some boroughs of the city that are mostly Francophone. Just talking to people on a daily basis was a bit challenging. Also, housing was a bit hard at first because some of the housing posts that you see on Facebook Marketplace, for example, or Kijiji, they're only written in French. And some of the landlords, they only speak French. So I think that it could definitely be a barrier to housing if you're not able to speak or understand the language fluently. Mm. There's also the aspect of job hunting. Many employers speak English but prefer to speak French on the job. So I had to do some interviews exclusively in French after I had learned French. And on the job application, the job description, they ask you to be perfectly bilingual. So I think that that also limits the opportunities for people looking for jobs here if they don't speak the language perfectly. But at the same time, like I found... on some Facebook groups, there's a lot of hospitality jobs, there's social service work that's more lenient when it comes to French, especially if you can speak another language aside from English. And the other challenge that I faced, which you're also familiar with because you helped me with it, was when I was trying to access French classes, the government officials on the phone were only speaking to me in French. So it was a bit difficult to understand them or communicate with them if I didn't have somebody with me who was actually, like, helping me translate.
Yeah. Emile, do you remember during the street interviews we did, I recall a couple of people saying that the French language was a bit of an issue, right? Or did I just create that in my brain?
I heard one or two people say something about it, especially because I think some of them even said, like, the French language courses that you mentioned might not be as accessible as they would like.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they know they need to learn their French, and even if they can afford it, it just maybe there's like this, there's like an obstacle in receiving that service.
Okay, so the second question we have for you today, Tara, is I know that you're a very active member of the young community and that you've worked with youth in a lot of different settings. And so I was wondering, what do you think Montreal can do to help young people access a good quality of life and good jobs in general?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I've been thinking about that, especially in the recent past, as I am trying to switch my career and go back to school and learn new skills so that I can have a better quality of life and a more stable income. I think one of the things that the province can do is making educational resources more accessible for people. For example, some schools require you to have stayed in the province for at least 1 year in order to access the lower tuition rate than the people who already reside in Quebec or have who were born in Quebec or grew up here and have been living here for many years. But that's not an issue that's just in Quebec. It's also, it's just an issue that international students face when they are coming to study in Canada. The ridiculously high cost of tuition is something that is a problem across all provinces in Canada. And of course, it's even worse in the States. But reducing that barrier, I think, would really help people who are looking to further their education or access training programs, looking to start their careers, or if they're like me, looking to change their career into something more lucrative. Also, for Quebec's paid French courses, I think that it's actually a really good initiative that the province has done. I think it's something that they should do because they make French mandatory in so many aspects of, like, living life here. So the fact that I was able to receive compensation and attend these courses full-time and also work part-time to supplement my income was really good. And some of these French classes also have the flexibility of letting students attend from home. So if they have family commitments, or if they're working, or if they're studying, having the remote option really helps too. So I really recommend that program to anybody looking to learn the language, or if they're looking to stay in Montreal long term. Definitely go through the program from start to finish and get the French certification, because that helps with getting your permanent residency, and then if you're looking to eventually become a citizen. And if you're going to be based in Montreal for the future, it's really important to know the languages. So, yeah, like, now I can hold conversation and understand French, which is helpful, like, not only for job hunting and house hunting, but to just understand the culture and understand the people who grew up here and who are from here more intimately. In terms of housing in Montreal, I think making it clear from the get-go that there's affordable housing options would have really helped me. when I first came here, the only resource that I was using was Facebook Marketplace and different groups like Homes for Queers, Montreal. And I kind of hopped around from place to place a lot because I was subletting and I didn't have a stable source of income, so I couldn't find a lease yet. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to stay here long term. But now, like, through networking, I found out that there's housing co-ops and there's different housing organizations that can actually help you find kind of stable housing for the long term. So I think knowing that from the get-go and also knowing about different government-funded training programs and educational resources, that's really helped me after moving here.
Okay, so would you recommend young people to move to Montreal for work and, like, life quality?
I think it's, like, it's a complicated question. For me, I would say no if you don't speak French. But if you have the ability to attend the French courses provided by the government, like if you have some savings or if you are living in a household where other people are earning income and you don't mind earning less for 8 months or so, because it's around 8 months, but the whole program takes from beginner to intermediate. I think doing that French course could really support people's long-term career growth. Like, if they want to stay in Montreal or if they want to go elsewhere, a lot of government jobs will pay you more if you are bilingual, and even more if you are trilingual, if you know more than two languages. So I think knowing French in itself is a good skill to have. But there is, like, sacrifice involved in learning French if you don't have any prior knowledge of French before moving here. And I think that in Montreal I've learned that being, like, a cultural fit for an organization is sometimes just as important as having the skills or the background.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if an organization can see you vibing well with the other coworkers, and if you would kind of fit in the day-to-day life of an organization,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that matters to some organizations more than others, maybe. But I'm only speaking from the perspective of being in community work and the social work sector, where a lot of the work that we do is very, like, client-facing, and we're interacting with the community a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important how you speak, and if you can speak the language, I think that really helps form those relationships with people. But yeah, I think that the main thing for me was French, and if you know French already, then definitely move here. And if you don't, then be prepared to kind of have an initial sacrifice when it comes to learning French.
Yeah.
And knowing that that's important to kind of integrate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, French is a pretty complicated language. I think the only reason I can speak is because I learned it since I was a child.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, I find, like, our team in Montreal is, like, we're all very, very bilingual. We all speak a lot.
In that context, we have to be, because we interact with...
That is true.
I don't know, yeah. Whatever... your context for Canadian cities is, Tara, but I do feel like touching on French is an important skill, kind of a must-have, is a way that distinguishes it and our data from the other cities that we're researching. So mm-hmm. Calgary, Vancouver, Toronto, and a couple of... Well, Moncton is very bilingual, actually.
Mm, it's true.
Moncton yeah. is awesome. But yeah, or New Brunswick gets little credit for how bilingual it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're just going to switch a bit on the more artist and entrepreneurial side of things. So would you think, as an artist, that there are enough opportunities for emerging artists in Montreal and young entrepreneurs? And if you were to change something from that emerging scene in Montreal, what would you change or what would you do?
Yeah, I think because Montreal is so much more of a tight-knit community than the GTA, for example, which I can speak to a bit because I grew up there. I think because the community is smaller here, it's not uncommon for you to kind of get to know somebody and then realize, oh, they are also friends with this person that I know, or this person is connected with another person that I've met before.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that having that word of mouth communication really helps.
Mm-hmm.
And just that people talk about what other people are doing in the community, and especially if you're an artist, you've probably heard about what other artists are doing around you. And you're also probably friends with a lot of other artists.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that really helps. And also there's so many organizations in this city that are dedicated to amplifying the voices of young artists. There's Project 10 that we're both familiar with, and then Youth for Youth Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
There's C3 Zinia Theater. There's Beyond the New INDG, the South Asian Youth Collective,
mm-hmm.
the Pan-Asian Collective,
yeah.
the Brick. These are organizations that I've worked with in the past, and they've been so important in helping me meet new people and find a sense of belonging in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And these are also organizations that regularly do arts programming free of cost to the community. We did a filmmaking project with the Project 10,
mm-hmm.
and Youth for Youth Quebec did like a BIPOC open mic night. DC Dunia Theater does a lot of organizing in creative writing and acting programming for the community. And Brick Our Brick does a lot of programming for the immigrant community and Park Extension. So I think because there's so many grassroots community organizations and everybody kind of knows everybody,
mm-hmm.
There's so many opportunities to meet other artists. And to also, like, I know you do so many, you sell your art at, like, local markets.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that also helps kind of get the word out there in terms of what people are doing and what kind of art that they're up to. And I think that that's a really big difference that I see between Montreal and GTA, because the GTA is so spread out. There's a lot of interesting programming happening in Scarborough, in the heart of the city, like in downtown Toronto, in Mississauga and Etobicoke too. But because it's so spread out and because the public transit system is not the best in connecting all parts of the city, as Montreal is, I think that kind of makes it more difficult for artists to meet other artists and to get their art out there. But yeah, I really appreciated Montreal and the fact that if you really want to meet other people, you definitely can.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah.
I'm taking out from this that Montreal has one of the best public transit systems, just connecting the entire island, and everybody's really close to each other.
Three yeah, lines. I mean...
But they're good lines, you know?
They're
good Metro lines.
Yeah. The REM train coming up soon should be a really good addition as well.
Say that again?
The REM train.
Oh, the REM.
That like jumps from the west end mm-hmm. to downtown.
Yeah. I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
You take the train every day, Emil. You're a commuter. You go from Pointe Claire to...
Oh, yes.
By technicality, how is that for you?
At the times I go, yes. But I know from, like, after 9:15, I think, there's, like, the next train comes, like, an hour and a half later.
9:15 a.m. or p.m.?
A.m.
That's awful. See, that's commuter-friendly. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you can catch that at the right time, it's wonderful.
Yeah. No, but, that's... Like, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a big delay in between those certain parts of the day. That's the on the downside.
And terrorist positive
things
are less accessible, which is very true. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Tara, I'm going to have one last question for you today.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to pick the one that I like the most. Let's say, between when you moved to Montreal and now, do you think that things have changed when it comes to, like, the pandemic and social interactions and young people's lifestyle have changed? I know you arrived slightly, like, in the middle-ish of the pandemic, but, you know, since then until now, like, do you think things have changed?
Yeah, for sure. I think the pandemic, of course, has changed everything. And in terms of community events, I think it slowed things down a lot. I was in Ontario when the pandemic was at its peak in 2020. And even though it's seeing a resurgence now, community events are continuing, which I think is good and bad. It's good because people are able to gather and it's really important to have spaces to meet people in your community, especially during the winter. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also concerning because some spaces don't make masks mandatory, and there's not a lot of protocols around acknowledging that COVID is still affecting people, especially if you're immunocompromised. Mm-hmm. And I think depending on the state of your immune system and if you've had COVID multiple times, and I guess just your perspective on how you view COVID, it really changes the way that you would interact with community gatherings. For me, I think it's made me want to ask people around me and be more proactive in not seeing people if they've been in crowded spaces, like if they've been to a concert or if they know that they have been around somebody who potentially could have COVID, then of course being more vigilant and asking people to test and just balancing the need to see people and be social, but also trying as much as I can to not put myself at risk or not put other people at risk. Mm-hmm. So I think that because the pandemic is going to continue to impact people's lives, it's really a lot of the onus is on people who are organizing events.
Yeah.
To be diligent in providing tests or providing masks and to encourage people to be responsible. It's changed a lot in terms of community and organizing and socializing, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that even in the workplace, for me personally, when they started removing masks, mandatory masks, and COVID testing and symptoms and stuff, like, I was working at a clinic and I was just like, no, this is making me uncomfortable to have to see a whole bunch of random people and they're coming and they're coughing on me, you know?
Exactly.
Well, I think we've reached the end of our interview. I would like to thank you very much, Tara, for participating in this little episode of What's Up With Work Lately.
Yes, thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for having these conversations.
Absolutely, and welcome anytime. Is there any other, I don't know, comments or things that you love about Montreal that you want to say on?
Just end up on a good note.
I want to say that it's a special city. Like, I feel a sense of belonging here that I haven't felt in other places, and I think it's because of the people who live here. And I think Montreal overall is a very loving place. And yeah, I feel privileged to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. That was Tara, interviewed by Charlie. We're going to take a quick music break. Playing us in is Damn. Dan's track Prozac, for those who know.
اكتر البروزا
يا قبلي بمر فيها
بس الخير على قولنا
لا حالي بتقلم من موتو منين ولين
لا حالي بتقلم شالوم شالوم بديش هالشكل بوقف ع حقي بديش الكرس بديش تكنسل خد ليبراليتك وحشيها زرق في ثقوب في قناعكم الابيض اوكي كي كي
اي اي تعتا نشوف انا المنكوب فانا المندوب نايس تو ميت يو وانا علوش هاد منجيل هاد منكوش
عنا عذاب بدها قلع من الشروش بس ما كان بنا ولا دعدوش قبل بوش
الله أكبر واتفجر من سبونسر نفاق شغل عداد الإرهاب سابقين الكل بالكيلومتراج يمن عراق هيروشيما صومال باكستان سوريا وأفغانستان لا تكتب لي روشتا
بديش تعطيني بروزا
كأبتي وحرة فيها
mind your business عقلنا
لحالي بتقلم
لحالي بتقلم
سمني وقطعني بلفور شلحني وشردني كله مستورد كله مستورد شغل أجنبي وأنا بستنى أنا بستنى صنع بلدي علو علو التصفيق علو علو التهليل رحبوا في لورنس الإنجليز هذا بطل هذا إديس لورنس العرب هو لقب مستعرب قديم مستعرب إسرائيل ولقب مستعرب حديث رحبوا يلا أرقصوا معي الرئيس الأحمق إفريدوا لبساط الأحمر إهدوا إهدوا ألماز الكوكب
يضربني بالصرمة شو سيناريو حقوق مرأة نفاق الشوفينية مش شرقية بل ذكورية كل واحد ودوره أنا بعالج قضية الشرف وانت عالج عندكم صناعة البورنو لا تكتب لي روشتا
بديش تعطيني بروزا
كأبتي وحرة فيها
mind your business عقلنا
لحالي بتقلم
لحالي بتقلم
كأبلي بمر فيها
بس الخير على قولنا
لحالي بتقلم من موتو منين ولين
Hello.
Hey, welcome back. Hope y'all enjoyed the tracks. Yeah, the first track, from what I understand, there was a 3 Palestinian and 3 Israeli artists. You know, which I think is a wonderful thing because it shows what happens when 2 people of different cultures can get along well and make great music.
Just collaborating, humanly. Anyway, the second track was from Men I Trust.
Yes.
From Montreal.
Montreal concept. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're gonna try to keep it Montreal themed for the rest of the episode. That was a little bonus.
Little sidetracks. It's okay.
Which is very prominent in Montreal. Yeah, Dem is the Arabian MCs, so Palestinian originally from Lod, which is in the occupied territories. So what did you think of Tara's interview?
Emil.
She seemed like they seemed like a very kind person. Yeah, it gave interesting perspectives of someone moving from a predominantly English province into Montreal and then having to learn French from scratch and then also having to find affordable housing. And I got some very good lessons in case I want to encourage people to move to Montreal.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like I never thought about that, of how I'm more privileged than Canadians. You know, because the Canadians that come from the province and don't speak French, I'm just so much more privileged. Yeah. And it's, like Tara mentioned, it's through helping them accessing French classes, because the Quebec people who do the subscriptions or whatever the word is, mm-hmm. for the French classes only speak French. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, how is this? This is total absurdity. It's just completely absurd. I'm sorry. But I was just laughing the whole time because that just does not make sense to me personally. Yeah. But,
well, it's interesting in the sense that in Canada we have more than 450 languages. If we include Indigenous languages and immigrant languages, mm-hmm. and colonial languages, that is in the 500 ballpark. So I think that the fact that Canada has something like 90% English-speaking and 29% French-speaking, like, I'm not sure exactly what the Venn diagram of that is. It's very, but the bilinguals have a lot of privilege, and the bilinguals are found kind of in, as far as cities go, in Montreal, Ottawa, I mean, all over, but yeah, and Moncton, those are kind of the big 3, and then there's technically a very small Francophone minority in Winnipeg that nobody talks about, and it's
I miss Winnipeg.
No, for real, I forget that people are very devoted to learning the language, as older youth as well, like 28-year-olds come to Montreal and commit to learning, take the government courses at the highest level, nonstop, 7 mm-hmm. days, which obviously comes, unless you have a stipend, comes with its own training, like, you know, sacrifice, as Tara mentioned, of time and opportunity cost. We're very lucky, and the Montreal team has a couple languages for sure on there.
That is true. But I do have to say that there's this whole thing, this is just me sidetracking on how, do you guys remember where that child of that prince, the England princes and princesses, when they had a child and the child was 2 years old and the child was bilingual and everybody was like, oh my God, this 2-year-old child is bilingual and it's the child of the prince, of the queen, of whatever. And people were just like, yeah, and so are every single kids from
every immigrant child.
Every immigrant child or every child from a country that's been colonized. We were all born and mm-hmm. are bilingual. But that was just me sidetracking on how mm-hmm. that's interesting.
Yeah, I think that'll change. I think, like, even now when we talk about the 5 most spoken languages in Canada, of course, like, Spanish, which is, like, I don't know, 5th, is very, very low, 3% as opposed to the U.S. But then we're finally now starting to talk about the huge skill set that it is to speak several languages mm-hmm. and come from a low-income versus a high-income culture, because they mean different things. I mean, several languages. I think it's extremely cool when someone has an accent. It's like, oh, they also are fluent in Tamil, which has millions of speakers. You know, I think mm-hmm. it's finally happening. In Montreal, Arabic would be the 3rd most spoken language, so we have at least a bigger North African Arabic speaking population in Montreal than we do, let's say, in Ontario sometimes, or in Toronto rather. Yeah, which is cool. Speaking of Montreal, we have about 2 minutes left before Charlie has to bolt for their bus.
You had to call me out like that. Online, live, goddamn.
Well, it goes to show with our public transit. If you miss this one, you gotta wait another 20 half hour for the next one.
Yeah, that's because it's McGill area, I have to say. It's just a bad area for public transport.
Y'all don't have any express buses around this area?
I don't think so. And it's like up the hill. I don't want to walk up the hill.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Nobody wants that.
No one does.
I'm not fit for this.
Okay, the turntables are not working, so here is more Men I Trust. This is KUT 90.3 FM. What's up with work lately? Thank you for tuning in.
Listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to another edition of La Hora del Ruido. My name is Jose Podrido and you are listening to CKUT 90.3. Today I'm going to be playing a quick set list of new releases that I came across lately. The first song comes out of a demo from a band from Indonesia called Ox. This song is called Metode Addiksi.